Is the Proverbs 31 woman primarily a prescription of how to become a better wife, mother, woman, or friend? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
Cyrus, at least, was prophesied to be a servant of God to do certain things. But there is no biblical warrant for making that parallel with any modern-day person, including President Trump.
You could easily argue for an atheist. An atheist tries to argue against a creator because an atheist doesn't like the idea that there's a final judgment, that they're accountable to doing what's right. That they deny the idea of a creator because they don't like the idea of moral rules, which they may have violated.
It would be really weird, wouldn't it, if just in 1500 you figured out a central truth? That would indicate that you've missed something. That's Joseph Smith kind of talk.
Canadian pipers love Issues, etc.
It comes at the very end of, well, what is probably one of the more read and popular books of the Old Testament in and among evangelicals, the book of Proverbs. It's the last chapter, the 31st chapter. And the words begin, "An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels." And then there is, well, it looks like a hymn to this ideal woman, praising her for her deeds great and small, for her justice and her generosity and her faithfulness and her wisdom in a lot of ways. Now, is this just kind of the last shot of a book that's intended to give you nothing but moral instruction aimed at women? This is what a woman should be. This is the example to follow. If you're really a Christian woman, this is what you're going to look like and act like, and this is what you're going to do. Or is there more to the Proverbs 31 woman than just that? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Friday afternoon, April the 6th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the Proverbs 31 woman with Deaconess Elizabeth Allman, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 woman. Here for the first half hour of the program, then Dr. Robert George of Princeton University will join us. He's written a recent op-ed piece with Professor Cornell West in the Wall Street Journal titled "Dr. King's Radical Biblical Vision," reflecting upon Martin Luther King Jr. and religion in the public square. We're going to spend some time with him, and then we'll round everything off on this Friday afternoon with our feature, This Week in Pop American Christianity Today. Pastor Chris Roseborough will bring us examples of bad Easter preaching. Joining us to talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, Deaconess Elizabeth Allman, is a married mother of four children in Houston, Texas, and author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. Deaconess, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much for having me.
You say that this particular section of Proverbs, usually associated with that Proverbs 31 woman, is beloved but often misunderstood. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think a lot of people really love this passage, or they focus on it, and a lot of books focus on it for women, things that are sort of how-to guides, step-by-step, how to be the Proverbs 31 woman. And, you know, there's whole ministries named after this proverb. So a lot of people, it's very well known from among the book of Proverbs, and a lot of people, if you say the Proverbs woman, they know what you're talking about. They know you're talking about this section. But it is, I think, often misunderstood as sort of a to-do list for women, or something that we have to strive to be. And it's very often pulled out of its moorings. It's pulled out of its context and not really put into the context of the rest of the book of Proverbs, so that you're not getting everything it has to say or the richness of what it has to say. You're sort of more just getting this step-by-step how-to guide to being a better woman.
What is the danger there? I mean, obviously, the rest of our conversation is going to be unpacking what Proverbs 31 has to say there, not only in that respect, but also really in a greater revelatory respect, but what's the danger of reading it merely as a how-to for a Christian woman?
I think it puts a lot of pressure on women. I think it's discouraging. And I think it encourages, this is the worst part, that it encourages us to look to ourselves and what we can do to be better and be perfect. And it gets us into sort of that rhythm of putting all the pressure on ourselves for being perfect rather than understanding that we are imperfect and that we can work towards those things, but we will never be perfect apart from Christ. And it sort of teaches us to look to ourselves to find that perfection rather than look to who we are in Jesus.
So let's kind of back up and get the bigger picture, at least the context of the book of Proverbs. How should we understand the book of Proverbs as a whole?
The book of Proverbs as a whole is really wonderful in that it points us to Jesus, even though at first glance we may not think that it does. And I think a lot of people will look at the book of Proverbs often and just kind of think of those little sayings that come out of it, like train up a child in the way he should go, or strong drink is a brawler, and things like that. But what is really happening in the book of Proverbs as a whole is that what's being conveyed is the wisdom that God gives us in Christ Jesus. And you see that because the first 9 chapters of Proverbs point us towards this divine wisdom that comes from God that has to do with the fear of the Lord. And then when you look at all the sayings and the advice that Proverbs contains, what it's really doing is giving us a picture of the fullness of life in Christ, the way that it was meant to be. And so understanding that the gospel really is at the center of this book, even though it has all these sort of snippets of advice, really helps us to see the book in a different way.
You say that there are 2 levels or 2 kinds of wisdom presented in Proverbs that will probably come into play as we discuss the Proverbs 31 woman. What are those?
So there's the everyday sort of practical wisdom, good advice for daily life, holding your tongue when you should, and things like that. And those are very helpful for living day-to-day life, but they flow from and are possible because of divine wisdom that is from God, which recognizes the fear of the Lord and comes from Him.
What kind of literature is this section of Proverbs 31?
So this is, Proverbs in general is wisdom literature, which contains advice and teaching and usually is centered on the fear of the Lord. But Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 also has a bit of a hymnic layer to it. So it's got the advice and it sort of has ideas of how to be. But what's really happening here is we're seeing that the person who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so it's sort of culminating this idea of the fear of Yahweh as being the ultimate form of wisdom.
Should we associate the fear of Yahweh, the fear of the Lord that you've mentioned here several times, with, in fact, faith?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Fear of the Lord is trusting in Him, is understanding that He is our Father, our Heavenly Father through Jesus. And it's a faithful trust in Him that makes us want to please Him. Andrew Steinman mentions that in his Proverbs commentary. So it's faith in Him that understands His awesomeness, but also understands all the grace and the mercy that He has given to us.
Why is it important to understand what kind of literature we're dealing with? And you deal a lot with also the structure of Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Why is that important for understanding the Proverbs 31 woman?
Understanding that we're dealing with wisdom literature, but also with this hymnic genre, helps us to see that there's practical wisdom to be gained, certainly from the poem to the woman in Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. But it also helps us to see that that practical wisdom flows from godly wisdom, and that that is what is to be praised, is the fear of the Lord and the godly wisdom that comes there. And the hymnic aspect also helps us to see how the poem fits into praise of Yahweh Himself, and then the structure helps us to see how each part fits together so that the main themes of the fear of the Lord and service of others come through really clearly.
Talk a little bit about that structure. You introduced some terms that probably pastors would understand because they've been forced to study these things, but the average person, terms like a chiasm that we find here in this section of Scripture. Explain what that actually kind of looks like and why it's important for properly reading these things.
Sure. So Proverbs 31, 10 to 31 forms a chiasm. So a chiasm is where you will have connected pieces at the beginning and end of a section of literature. And those kind of help you understand that those pieces are all to be read together and helps you to interpret what comes in between. And many chiasms, and this is true of Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, also have what's called a fulcrum, which is a middle portion of the text that is sort of brought out or emphasized by the chiasm. And that middle portion for Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 is, she puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. And what this middle portion of the poem does is it kind of sums up for us all of what the poem talks about with regard to what she is doing. So we're not looking at a laundry list like, now I have to go and work all night long and sell a vineyard or buy a vineyard and put out portions for my maidens in the morning, things like that. What it's showing me is that sort of the overall thrust is this idea of service in my vocation, in a vocation, and then also fear of the Lord, which is what propels us to this service of others. So you see in verses 19 and 20, sort of the practical part of her and the spiritual part of her put together hand in hand. And that helps us to kind of see what sort of the theme of the main poem is. And then at either end of the chiasm, you have these connections with the word chayil in Hebrew, which is the word for worthy, or it's often translated excellent, strength. And so that word is the word that we use to describe the woman. And you see that word coming up at both the beginning and the end of the poem. And there's other words in common. So verses 10 and 11, and then verses 28 and 29 are what form that chiasm. You have this idea of chayil, excellent wife who can find. She's more precious than jewels. That's in 10. And then in 29, you have, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. So again, this word chayil, and then this idea of surpassing something, being more than something, more precious. And then in verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. And then verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So that forms that kind of X that you can make out of the text. And you see the same ideas flipped and shown at different ends, opposite ends of the poem. And then verses 30 and 31 are sort of the final coda, the final trumpet blast on everything that has been said about her.
Deaconess Elizabeth Allman is our guest author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Demystifying Proverbs 31 Woman. We're talking about the Proverbs 31 Woman. When we come back, connections to the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260 952-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
40 Years Greatly Blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Oh, Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Worldwide Missions is the theme of the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It's available in both print and online formats. You can check it out at cph.org/witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness. cph.org/witness. We're talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. Deaconess Elizabeth Ullman is our guest. Deaconess, you see a connection, and you were talking briefly about this a little bit before, a connection to other parts of the book of Proverbs and this Proverbs 31 woman, beginning with the first 9 chapters.
Right. And the first 9 chapters of the book are sort of the lens for all of Proverbs. So it's really important to read those and before you just start reading whatever little verses you want to read in between. They're really helpful in understanding all of the book of Proverbs, and they really make a connection to her. So in Proverbs 1, you see that what you have here is a father giving advice to his son. And so most of the context of this is sort of the passing on of that kind of wisdom from father to son. And the father's big sort of advice, or most important piece of advice, is that the son seek after wisdom. And the way that this is kind of portrayed is to be seeking after the faithful woman or the good wife rather than the adulterous woman. Dame Folly is often what we call her in Proverbs. And so it begins with this call from wisdom that she's standing and calling to those who need instruction and need understanding. So she's calling to them to come and learn from her. And you have that progress throughout, and then you see this call several times. And then you see in chapter 8 that wisdom describes herself and what she has to offer, that she offers life. Not that just that she offers, you know, good ideas for everyday living, but that she offers life to those who follow her. And then you have her offering a feast that's much like a wedding feast. And then you have her depicted as having built her house and calling for all those who would be a part of her household to come into her house. And that sort of builds through chapters 1 through 9, and then you have all of the practical wisdom for daily life that brings wholeness out of the brokenness of what we experience in a fallen world. And then you have this capstone of the Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 woman, and it's like Lady Wisdom has sort of built to this point. Now she is at home with her own. She has gathered those who have answered her call into her household. She cares for them. She teaches them the chesed of God, the loving kindness, steadfast faithfulness of God, and has them gathered now in the home, and it's established.
You also find connections between the Proverbs 31 woman and other women depicted in Scripture. Where would you point us there?
So one of the first places is Ruth. Originally, in the Hebrew ordering of the Bible, Ruth would have followed Proverbs 31, and that's because it was part of the writings, and the way it was organized was a little bit different than our Bibles. And this word, kail, excellent, strength, worthiness, this is the same word that's used of Ruth in the book of Ruth, and it's not very often used apart from militaristic context. So it's very important that it's used of these two women, of both of them, in sort of a special way. And so we see this connection between the Proverbs 31:10-31 woman who fears the Lord as someone who is worthy, someone who's excellent, someone who's to be praised. And then you have Ruth, who by all accounts should not be similar to the woman of Proverbs 31:10-31 in that she is a pagan, she's a Moabitess, she does not come from the people of God, and yet she too is praised as someone who is excellent and worthy. In the end of the book of Ruth, they talk about letting her name and Boaz's name be renowned. So you have this connection with this word, and yet Ruth is so different, seemingly. But what this shows us is that it is not what we do, but it is the fear of Yahweh, it is faith that makes us excellent, makes us worthy, makes us those who are worthy of the praise that is given to Yahweh's people. And so Ruth really is a beautiful picture of this for us. She also helps us to shed that light back onto Proverbs 31:10-31 as sort of a corrective to this understanding of her as sort of this bucket list or to-do list of things.
Are there other women with connections to the Proverbs 31 woman?
I think the other big one would be the bride in Song of Songs. And they both, if you look at a couple of the places in Song of Songs where Solomon is describing his bride, the list and the structure of the list is very similar to Proverbs 31:10-31 in that there are attributes listed. Now, for the bride, these attributes are physical attributes and of her beauty. But both of them are beautiful in their own way, and in the end, they're both beautiful because they both fear the Lord once again. And both women also instruct and teach others in the ways of Yahweh. So you have that the verse in Proverbs 31 that mentions that about her, the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And then in the Song of Songs, the bride often advises the other young maidens not to awaken love until the time is right. And so this advice that falls in line with Yahweh's will for marriage, this is something that she is also speaking to the people of God. And this, the portrait of the church kind of comes out in the comparison between Song of Songs and Proverbs 31, because you have this idea of the one who is sought, who is made beautiful in the eyes of her lover. So Solomon does not see any faults in her, and he's sort of the picture of Christ in that book. And she's the picture of the bride, which is the church, and that in Christ, in his eyes, in his loving eyes, we as the bride, the church, are beautiful, perfect, without flaw, because we have been declared to be so by him.
So there are, you have three different kind of portraits that the Proverbs 31 woman is. You've mentioned one there, the church. We've also talked briefly about the first one. You talk about kind of wisdom incarnate. Therefore, this is, oddly enough, although it's a Proverbs 31 woman, it's a portrait of Christ as wisdom right. incarnate. Talk about that.
Yes, I think that one is the strongest as far as the text goes, and it goes back again to those first nine chapters of Proverbs, and especially to chapter 8 of Proverbs. And there we see that Lady Wisdom is describing herself, and she says things like how she's more precious than jewels, that kind of same idea. She talks about gold and silver, and that wisdom is better than these things, that her mouth utters truth, just as the woman of Proverbs 31 speaks the truth of God's steadfast loving kindness, and that riches and honor are with the Lady Wisdom in Proverbs 8, and the same idea is in Proverbs 31:10-31, that the husband gains honor through the wife. So there's a lot of other words and phrases and ideas that connect these two, and so we take this description that Lady Wisdom has of herself, and we set it along side of Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, and we see that they are very similar, and that this, again, is Lady Wisdom, but now she's settled at home with her household. And at the end of Proverbs 8, we have the description of herself where she talks about that the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago it was set up before the mountains had been shaped, and all these things. And from the time of the early church, Proverbs 8 has been seen as sort of the pre-incarnate Christ speaking as wisdom. This does not mean that Jesus is a female. The reason that this happens is because the Hebrew word for wisdom is in the feminine conjugation. And we're also just using a metaphor, a beautiful picture, sort of as when Jesus says, as a mother hen gathers her chicks, so I gather you. He's not saying that he is a female because he's talking about a mother hen gathering her chicks. He's using that picture to show how he acts towards those he loves. So the same thing here. This is just a picture to show us Jesus. It does not mean that he is female. He is the God-man, truly man, truly God. So I just always like to point that out and say that clearly. So you have this connection between Proverbs 8 and Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, where this is again Lady Wisdom speaking, and so this to us is a portrait of Jesus. And Jesus is the one who doesn't rest from his labors. He feeds and clothes us as we need. He gives us the fine linens of the fine white linen of his righteousness, even though we don't deserve it. He gathers us into his household. He teaches us. He proclaims his favor. He calls us as his children. So all these things that the woman is doing in Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, these are a picture of what Christ does for us.
We're talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. Deaconess Elizabeth Allman is our guest, author of the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. When we come back, it is also a portrait of who each believer is in Christ. We'll find out how. Stay tuned.
What we need to know about Islam is that it's the world's fastest growing religion and the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel.
Hank Canagraph of the Bible Answer Man talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The current narrative is that if you tell the truth in this regard, well, you'll radicalize Muslims. But that's pure propaganda. What we need to do is wake up to the truth concerning Islam.
You can meet and hear Hank Canagraph making the case against Islam at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is amid Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdGruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Proverbs 31 woman on this Friday afternoon. Deaconess Elizabeth Allman is our guest, a married mother of four children in Houston, Texas, and author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. Deaconess, you've talked about how the Proverbs 31 woman is a portrait of Christ himself, wisdom incarnate, of his bride, the church. You say it is also a portrait of who each believer is in Christ. How is that?
Yes, this beautiful poem really shows us that in Jesus, we too are these things. We're not people who deny him or walk according to the way of Dame Folly. We too have been brought into the household of faith. And we too, because Christ lives in and through us, can work to serve our neighbors, to speak in our own vocations the truth of God's love and mercy for those that he has placed in our lives. And so we also are those who live this way by virtue of our baptism into Jesus.
All this being said, kind of returning to how sadly many Christians read the Proverbs 31 as merely an example to be followed, Does Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, have anything to say to women in particular?
Yeah, see, this is one that I sometimes struggle with talking this way, because Jesus is for everyone, obviously. But I do think that women have unique concerns, and so do men, but they're different. And for women, I think there is this pressure to do everything, be everything, be perfect, and that we often take so much of that into ourselves, and we start to gaze inward, and we forget that it's not all on us, and that we have a Savior who lifts us out of that, who works in and through us. So I think that this beautiful portrait can really serve women by showing us our Savior, but also saying to us the comfort that this is who we are in Jesus, and we can rest, and we can breathe, and we can know that he, everything that we fail at, he perfects, he makes perfect, he works to redeem. And so I think that it really can be, when looked at rightly, a very beautiful source of comfort.
I want to have you respond to a couple things that, and you have to a certain degree here just a few moments ago. There's so much of feminism that has pervaded not only the culture, but sadly, even the church. The message of feminism to women today is essentially, you can have it all. You can be everything. And if you're not doing that, then you're failing the movement or something like that. Strikes me that that is remarkably similar to how many Christians sadly read Proverbs 31 regarding women. What are your thoughts there?
Yes, I think so. I think it really, when it's read as something that we have to sit down and do the 12-step movement towards so that we can be this particular Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 woman exactly like her, it does belie this sort of understanding that we can be all and have all and do all ourselves. And that's really not what it is about. And so it's a really sad thing when we look at it that way. And I think it's something we all struggle with, and wanting to do everything, wanting to make sure everything is perfect, wanting to have our cake and eat it too. And we have to remember that there are seasons in life. And I think that she gives us a really good picture, the Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 woman, of vocation. So when we look at altogether what she is doing, it's not about each individual item on the list. The idea is that as wife and mother, she is serving within her vocation, doing the things that are needed within her vocation. And I think if we think vocationally, what is my vocation? That might be I'm a wife and a mother. That might be I'm not married yet, but I have obligations to people within my family or within my workspace or things like that. And when we think vocationally, then we see what's in front of us and we focus smaller on those things that have been given to us, and we can accept and enjoy and rest in the stage that we're in at that time without having to have it all.
In that sense, is a right understanding of the Proverbs 31 woman a corrective to the feminist influence that we find in the church as well?
I think it definitely can be, yes, because I think that it can help to teach us contentment in who we are at the moment and what our vocation is at the moment. And also just give us that comfort of knowing that to Jesus, in his eyes, we are perfect, we are redeemed, we are beautiful, we are loved. And that goes for everyone, not just for women, but that these are not things that we have to strive after. These are things that he has declared us to be because of his death on the cross for our sins.
If the Proverbs 31 woman, and you started a kind of a response to this, if it is a portrait of Christ, wisdom incarnate, some would say, well, okay, portraying Christ as a woman, or the fact that this is a portrait of Christ in a woman's form, for lack of a better word, someone says, how does that not play into these feminist reinterpretations of Christ who want to feminize Christ or want to talk about him in feminine terms?
Well, I think, first of all, as I said earlier, this really doesn't have anything to do with making him into a woman or portraying him as a woman or saying that he's a woman, because what is happening here is that just a portrait based on the gender of the Hebrew word for wisdom. But I think also there's some interesting things that are actually happening in the poem where a lot of the words that are being used as a woman are actually very strong words, words that are often used in militaristic images. The word for when she brings portions of food for her household is actually prey. And there's this idea of sort of plundering ships. And so there's actually sort of a lot of really strength-oriented images that are most often used of soldiers and things like that in the Bible. But the feminist interpretation ignores what God has said about himself. And what he has said is and told us is that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God, the God-man. He came as a man, as a male, into the world, and that is who he is, regardless of the pictures that are used of him that might use some feminine imagery. And again, imagery, metaphor, these things, they don't have a one-to-one correspondence always. So what we're getting is a picture of Jesus' love for us. We're not getting something that's telling us that he's other than what he has said he is.
Finally then, how should Christians be using and studying the book of Proverbs, given your study here that it really brought you into a study of the entire book? How should Christians be using and studying it?
I think that whenever a Christian approaches the book of Proverbs, they should be definitely looking through the lens of those first 9 chapters and this understanding of the contrast between Lady Wisdom, which is who shows us the ways of Yahweh and the fear of the Lord, and Dame Folly, and understanding that this picture that it gives of this contrast helps us to see God at work for us in Christ and what he wants to give us, and that is life and life abundantly as opposed to death, which is what comes when you follow Dame Folly's way. And so when you look at the rest of the book of Proverbs, as you go through that, you see that everything in there sort of flows back to this idea of the wisdom of God being that faith which is gifted by him, that clings to him, and seeing how God brings wholeness out of the brokenness of this world.
Deaconess Elizabeth Ullman is a married mother of 4 children in Houston, Texas. She is author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. It's a contrast to the superficial readings that often fill the bookshelves, the women's section of Christian bookstores, based on the Proverbs 31 woman. Actually engages the text itself in its context, and therefore allows that text to paint the portrait of Christ that the original author and the Holy Spirit first intended. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman by Deaconess Elizabeth Allman, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Deaconess Allman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and religion in the public square with Dr. Robert George of Princeton University. He's co-authored an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal titled Dr. King's Radical Biblical Vision. Stay tuned.
What does Easter have to do with mission work? Find out in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, as you learn to see Christian missions through the lens of Easter and see Easter anew through the eyes of LCMS missionaries around the world. Celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection together with all the saints throughout time and to the very ends of the earth. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Less laughing, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you a high schooler who enjoys theology? Do you know a high schooler who would make a good pastor or deaconess? Every summer, Concordia Theological Seminary offers programs for vocational discernment and theological education for high school students. Check out Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy this summer, June 17th through the 30th. Registrations open now. Email us at christacademy@ctsfw.edu or register online. Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, June 17th through the 30th.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.